Congratulations, you've made a brilliant decision to listen to the Boiled Sports Podcast, also known as the Handsome Hour. We hope you enjoy, and if you don't, you can have your money back. It's the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour, and it starts right now. Trying a new format this year, and of course it will, just like every other year, it'll surely have its problems because there's just no other way for us. So I'm Jay. I'm joined by Boiler Dad.
Corey, everybody.
The man with the most influence on Purdue college football.
Exactly. I'm the straw that breaks the camel's back every time. If I say it will be, then a recruit's coming to Purdue. That's all there is to it. I didn't know that until a couple of days ago, but I got it's good. It's good to know. I have a lot of power.
Yeah, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway, yay, Daryl Hazel. I think we've got enough.
That's a cut.
Yeah. We'll do it live.
Put it in the can.
We'll do it live.
Yeah.
There. So how's your off season been? As you always point out to everybody, nobody knows this, but we don't talk between
exactly
the end of basketball season and the beginning of football.
Yeah.
So that's nice. I mean, it's good to catch up.
Yeah.
It's good for us too.
Yeah. But no, it's been good. I had that operation, and
you sound a lot more masculine.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of testosterone treatments I've gotten, and I can finally say I'm officially a man, so that's good.
So for those who are maybe, you know, we probably have legions of new followers due to our jump over to Bloglin, because that's been, I mean, it's been a runaway success.
Oh, it's huge.
You know, so I think it's worth, you know, mentioning that to those who don't know, this is our podcast. We this year we're thinking, I think, you and I have talked about, we're going to do maybe every other week, maybe do twice a month, get your appetite all wet and excited, and eagerly anticipating the handsomeness or whatever, and then until you're ready to explode with it. No, what am I saying?
I was like, all right, I'm waiting for this to go.
Where is it going?
The next
with
step
it?
And get worse.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
good.
But yeah, it's. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna probably do one every other week. We're gonna try to keep it to an hour so that it's appropriately named the Handsome Hour, and we'll be talking mainly football, but we're gonna touch on some basketball. As well, since there's stuff going on there that's worth talking about. We've kind of haven't had as much to talk about the last couple seasons of the show, so it's been on a little less frequently.
Yeah.
I think we have our mojo back. I think Daryl Hazel's done that for a lot of people within the program. And we can start in any place. Obviously, we've talked a lot about this ourselves and, of course, on our site, those of you who read it and, you know, don't mind waiting for the page to load. we've got a very even-handed, very in control, calming influence, I think, with Daryl Hazel. And I think it's amazing. It shows you where the program is when just a guy with a steady hand coming in is has generated the level of excitement that, I mean, really, right? He's just organized and focused.
He's very
and
organized. Very
and man, yeah, but there's nothing. It's not like he's coming here promising national titles. He's just come in and kind of cast a calmness over the program, just a quiet confidence, right? That's all it is. And yet it has people so damn excited, which is great. It's funny to me because, you know, it just shows you where the program's at, that if he goes 5-7 this year, but nobody's embarrassed by the program, I think he's going to have legions of fans. If he wins 6 or 7 games, they're going to be ready to build a statue for him. You know?
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know where to begin, but I mean, we could, you know, I know you're expecting 8, 9, 10 wins.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that was last year. That's right. You were a hope guy. You know what's funny? Well, and I know I'm doing all the talking right now.
That's right.
Well, Joe, when he was hired, I remember, I don't know if we ever talked about this on our show, but I do remember you saying, before he even coached a game, you said, and I quote, "I'm already thinking about Purdue's next coach."
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how big of a fan you were of Danny Hope.
Yeah. What happens with me, I mean, and you can see it, you can see in my writing and things that, I research players and I really kind of, I don't want to say this in a way that's going to sound wrong, but it's going to come out wrong. I fall in love with these young guys.
Yes. Well, who doesn't?
No, but it's really more infatuation than love, let's be real honest. But, no, I do research. I say, okay, well, you got strong senior leaders. You got, Purdue had, what, 7 really good quarterbacks in the rotation last year. There was a good formula for winning. I mean, running game was strong. Defensive line looked good. They had tons of seniors, and I thought, well, that equals 8 wins, and I was right. I was very, very right last year. So that's that. Let's just get that out of the way. What I want to do is make sure that everybody understands how wrong I was. That's the thing. And we were talking away from this show and away from the site. Via an email thread with a couple of our friends, and everybody's kind of throwing darts at the board, making their predictions about the season, and that's really what we're doing right now. There's just so many variables, and if you look at this Cincinnati game, you try to predict it, even more variables because you got 2 new coaches, new programs. You got, Cincinnati. I just read they're going to have 2 quarterbacks play on Saturday. I know that Tuberville said he wasn't going to name the starter. Now he's saying.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I love it. I love what I'm hearing.
Now. I do too. I love not being on that side.
It's fantastic. So as much as I like Appleby, I'm really, really happy that Hope. Edit that out. That Hazel made a strong decision. He knew what he was doing weeks ago, obviously. We talked about that and. Coach Shoup even alluded to it during that Big Ten tailgate. He knew exactly that it was Henry, a week before they were going to announce it.
Big Ten tailgate. That's long gone.
What do they call it? Big Ten.
It was Big Ten preview phase.
I don't know. Big Ten. It's like a 7-minute show now. They can't
do it in a box. Yeah, exactly. Gosh, yeah.
I hate it now. I mean, it used to be great when it was an hour long. I feel like I'm not even learning anything. I was there the day those guys were there, and I swear I knew more than they did, but.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh. Last year, Jerry DiNardo was in love with Coach Hope. Remember that?
Yeah.
Griffith was a little less, but they were both, wow, big things out of Purdue this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They read our blog. They listened to me. Sorry, woman.
Oh, man. So, I want to jump into, since who knows how long, our recording equipment will actually work, I'd like to jump to a couple of, we got some pretty cool questions from people, topics. One was from Robert Baker, a guy who's interacted with us many times on Twitter. He said,
Robert Baker, the touchdown maker, right?
That's right. Yeah. Touchdown maker, cupcake maker, okay. Yeah. I think that's what it is. If they don't win this weekend, what is success for Hazel and Purdue on Saturday? And he says a balanced offense and sure tackling is his. And I think it says a lot about where the program is that we're saying just tackle correctly,
right?
Just play football like football players. That's all we're asking.
Right. Well,
I think the bar is not real high. We're a beaten down lot.
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
And I think obviously a win, even an ugly win, would be huge. This is one of those times when an ugly win is okay. We had a lot of ugly wins. We talked about that. We were like, oh, that's not a good win. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you win 51-41 over Marshall, that's not a great win. If they win ugly, that's fine because that means they're finding a way, right? I think because they're playing a quality program on the road. A couple quick things I'll throw at you, then I'll let you give your answer on that. But did you know that, first of all, Cincinnati is sold out. They're very excited. They sold out for this Saturday.
Huge deal.
It's their first sellout for their home opener. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Since the last time Purdue was their home
opener. Well, the funny thing is I read that, and they were acting – I read it in a Cincinnati paper, and the writer was acting like, well, everybody's caught the Tuberville fever. And I'm like, you think that's what it is, really, guys? You really
don't think maybe it's because you're within driving distance of Purdue?
Yeah.
And let's also, do you know what they sell out crowd capacity
like
is?
38,000.
Yeah, not even. It's like 34,000 of the NIP.
Okay.
The NIP.
NIP.
Who's going to the NIP?
Well, that.
The NIP.
The NIP. The NIP. Yeah, and I had an awesome joke. I think I'll say it one more time. I don't know if it's going to be funny the second time. But, you know, it's, you know, like last year we'd complain about having 40,000 in Ross Aid, right? Remember?
Right. Well, right.
But if you had 40,000 for a Cincinnati game, you might say the NIP was overflowing.
I don't think you know how NIPs work. I did think about that. I thought, you know, if Purdue averaged 34,000 people in a game,
oh my gosh,
are their coach. And yet, you know, it just helps put it in a little bit of perspective for you.
Yep.
So the NIP is packed. So what's success for Saturday? Obviously a win, but beyond that,
let's say first thing you really want to do is you want to eliminate the crowd and take the excitement off the NIP. You know, calm down the NIP.
You don't want everyone standing up.
No, you don't want the
stadium effect.
All right.
This
is why we can't have anything nice.
The furnace is one thing. The NIP, you know.
Yeah.
If you can't, I mean,
it's great.
It's August, so it won't be cold.
No, they won't. But they will be out. They'll be out nipping out.
Exposed to the elements. To the elements.
All right. Grow up, Ryan.
Crap. Okay. What is success on Saturday? Seriously. Like, because that's a good question. I like that. I thought that was a good question because I think, again, I'll go back to my old standby. Like, don't embarrass yourselves, you know? And they won't. They won't. I'm confident of that.
But
I think guys will be prepared. They'll be ready. They may not win, but they'll be ready. As ready as they can be at this point, because that's the other challenge of playing a tougher program,
not getting
a cupcake in the first game, is that you don't know who you are yet, and you haven't had a chance to get loose the way Indiana is going to be able to against Indiana State Thursday night.
Yeah, that's a big advantage.
Yeah.
So, well, it's I'm getting a little echo now, which is awesome.
Good.
Nice. Technology's great. So the idea for me, what is a successful game? You know, I really have a hard time even muttering those words like you were saying where, you know, just don't embarrass yourself. But, you know, they're not, like you said, they're not going to. I don't want to talk about anything but them winning. I think this game is pivotal. You wrote about that. I think it's really important for their chances of making a bowl. There are a couple games that can go either way to me, much like yourself. You haven't done that since college. Why did I even bring that up? So, but no, it's tough to predict, though. It is really tough to predict. There's a lot of variables, and I mean, how many good programs is Purdue playing? Well, they're playing a lot, but how many programs are they playing that are all, you know, new coaches? You know, three of those good programs have new coaches. It's wild. It's a weird situation. So.
Right. Another question we had, and I want to get through these while I can, is Lanny Cohen, who's a regular, she interacts with us on Twitter and on Facebook a lot. She had a great question, I thought. She said, I made a bet that Purdue football will have a better record than IU football. And she said, please tell me I'm right, or at least discuss.
good discussion.
I think that's a great question because – I think if Purdue has the season everyone's predicting out there, and everyone, I mean the media, then they will not have a better record than IU. Because I think everyone's talking about IU really should stumble their way to six wins this year. And this is Kevin Wilson's, you know, Danny Hope third year season where he kind of really has to – they got to make a bowl. They got to. With the schedule they have, all the home games they have, they don't play a road game until like Christmas or something.
Yeah.
And people talking about Purdue being – you know, four-win team or something, I think this is their year to have that happen. I also think it's a good chance that for the first time in a while, both teams really need that bucket game,
which
we've talked about that makes the rivalry better. We talk about it in basketball a lot. It's better when they're both good. It's better when they're both competitive in football because of that bowl game, that bucket game means something, you know. And I they could be both playing for a bowl or a better bowl or the same bowl,
sure.
Frankly.
Sure.
I mean, they could be fighting for – a slot that you know Purdue might get with one fewer win because they're a better draw or something. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But what do you think? You think Purdue, if you had to wager, have a better record than IU this year?
No, I don't. I wouldn't put money on that at all because that eight home game thing is just like unlike anything I've ever seen for a team as low as IU. I mean, it's one thing for like I said, Oklahoma was the first team I think I had ever seen with eight home games a couple of years ago, and Notre Dame has done it, I think. But for a team like IU to get eight home games, Fred Glass must have freaking sold his soul.
Yeah, I think I don't know what Glass did. I thought you were going to say he did something naughtier than sell his soul. Frankly, right. I thought you were about to say Fred Glass must have. I don't know, but you know they picked up. They got a Thursday game. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think some of that's like, hey, if you agree to play on the Thursday, you get a home game, or is that not really how it works? Because I don't think the date when they play, they don't know that, right? Because you make these agreements years in advance, so you know you're playing into Indiana State 5 years ago.
Yeah, but you know there was a lot of shuffling of schedules in the last 2-3 years in NCAA. There were, you know, a lot of teams were buying out contracts to get, you know, lesser teams to come in, especially SEC teams. You know, they were kind of pillaging Big Ten schedules. It happened. Purdue was one of those teams that got pillaged, I believe. So, wasn't that? Wasn't Kent State? Was it? What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Kent State bailed on Purdue to.
That's right.
You know, in order to play Alabama.
Yeah, and so that was Hazel's first game at Kent State, which is pretty interesting. And I remember how angry we were about that. That's And Hazel obviously had little to do with that, but that was pretty crappy. But so I look at IU's schedule, and I think it would be you'd be a fool to bet Purdue will have a better record than IU. But IU still has the same disease that they've always had. Even if you listen to the people that are looking through, you know, their schedule with crimson colored glasses, people still think their defense is going to have a hard time stopping anybody. And that is not a good formula for winning. So,
well, you know, and there was something, I think Tom Dienhart at Big Ten Network said, he said, he's got a plan and it's working. You know, he realizes he's not going to be able to recruit defenses that can, you know, that can win. So he's decided he's going to have to outscore teams, which is kind of funny because he's not going to, I mean, that is what he's trying to do, but you know, to try to win by outscoring, we know from experience that'll get you 8-9 wins. That's not going to – I don't think in the current landscape it's going to get you Big Ten titles or 11 wins, I don't think. Well, I mean, you have to have a really good defense.
Yeah, I don't – I think 8-9 wins is a ridiculously aggressive number for that program because
– Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
This isn't they're not going to do something that the Big Ten doesn't know how to react to. I mean –
Right.
He always has some good gadget plays. I mean, I think Wilson's a very good football mind. I said that when he was hired. I've stuck with that. I still think he's a good coach. But he's, you know, there are a lot of things. You know, he's kind of the antithesis of Hazel in that he's not cool and calm. He's not super organized. He's not good at PR. You know, so he's a good offensive mind. And that's the end. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, and what I meant was that if you decide to focus on offense, you know, best case you're talking about 8-9 wins, and I mean best case like you have Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you know. Trying to outscore everybody in the Big Ten, no matter what landscape, no matter what the conference looks like. You know, Tiller got it to change to a little more offensive, but you're still not going to win 11-12 games. It's not going to be and I know they're not trying to be that. I'm just saying we know from experience that you're not going to. You're still going to lose some games that are going to drive you crazy because you, with a decent defense, you would have won them.
Sure.
And Purdue had plenty of losses like that throughout those years that they couldn't stop teams enough, you know? So, I want to try to bring on one of our guests or our guest for this evening. This ought to be comical. Let me see if I can, bring on, we're going to try to bring on Michael Henry of the Railroad Tie.
Call him by his alias, damn it. It's the right way.
Oh man, Hank is so smart. He just troubleshot our technology issue.
Did he really?
Yep.
Hey, what's up?
Hey! It's the guy nobody knows, Hank from the Railroad Tie.
But everybody loves him. Even though people don't know him, they still love him.
I know, isn't that great? That was a nice little
what now? We're still here this time.
He's gone.
I'm here.
Oh.
No, he's there. He's just walking around the pine trees of the Pacific Northwest.
That's a nice little. No, I'm waiting with bated breath. That's a nice little what? Are you talking about my dress I'm wearing or?
No, I was saying that was a nice little self-esteem boost for me before I came on.
I know.
When you said that you were going to talk to me tonight, and then everyone was like, who the hell is that guy?
Who's that? You know, we've never gotten that response before, though. Usually it's never been that. People have, you know, we've had you on, and people are like, oh, good stuff from him, you know? And tonight it was, even people who follow you, I think they were giving you a hard time, though. Guys who follow you are like, I follow him. I don't even know who he is.
Yeah, might have been. Yeah. Still hurts, though. It still hurts.
So, just from our, so for those of you who don't know who we're talking to, because I don't know how much of this I'm going to actually cut and put on the air, we're talking to Michael Henry of the Hoosier Porn Aggregator. No, the Hoosier Hoops Report. And for those of you who don't know who he is or claim you don't, it's HoosierHoopsReport.com. You can follow him at the Railroad Tie on Twitter, and he will drop so much knowledge on you that it will hurt. That's what he'll do.
Make your brain hurt.
We will. And we got, you know, it's funny because we put out a thing saying, hey, any questions? And I didn't know people would actually respond with questions. But one of the first ones we got, Michael, was actually about Purdue basketball, which given that it's this week, you know, like with Daryl Hazel about to start things off, it's kind of amazing that someone would ask that immediately. But
I mean, I'm not even thinking about basketball right now. I'm so pumped for football. But yeah, let's bring it.
Yeah. Well, you're the Hoosier Hoops Report, man, so you need to, you know, sorry, man. You need to be prepared to talk about these things.
All right.
We can talk about hockey if you want, because that's coming up.
Oh, sure.
And I know that would...
I'll just leave if you guys want to do that.
So basically, we had a guy say...
Why are you speaking Canadian? I don't...
He said, what's the word so far on inherited hoops leaders, Peck and Carter?
Well,
What's the word?
Huh?
So what's the word?
Well, you know, here's the thing, like, every off season you hear nothing but, like, these really positive things about everybody. I'm sure everyone remembers a couple of years ago when Patrick Beatty came out of the summer, just chiseled out of stone, and everyone was talking about how he was going to be able to anchor the post and let Juwan Johnson, you know, roam free and do his thing, and then that never really came out. So you really have to take summer reports with a grain of salt, but from what I understand, like, both Sterling Carter and Eric Peck have been playing really well and just looking really good. Like, I know Carter has been working really hard, and both of those guys are really motivated to make the most out of their final year of eligibility. So, you know, the maturity and leadership that both of them bring is going to be invaluable in and of itself. But, you know, I mean, everything coming out of Purdue is how good everybody looks. So, you know, I'm really anxious. I think Peck is a starter from day one, so we'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, I completely agree with that he was in, he again.
Oh.
You guys there?
Yes,
we're here.
Oh, cool.
This is awesome.
This is fun. This is great. You know, we've literally never done a podcast that went correctly. Ever.
No.
It's kind of hard to believe. It's really, we're the Danny Hope, Gary Nord tandem of podcasts.
We're always calling timeouts at the wrong time and looking at each other and saying, should we punt?
I'm gonna start a Twitter feed called Hopeless BS.
You should, because
technical questions.
People love it.
Now it's going to start. Here it goes.
It goes.
He waited. He got me nice and vulnerable, where I was like admitting I didn't know something. You know how good I am at that. And now
so few things you don't know. That's a thing.
That's why I'm not good at it.
Hard to find them. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's just going to crush my hopes and dreams. So Hank, just continue with whatever you were saying. Just it was brilliant. I know that. So
what was I? What were we talking about?
I know what you're talking about. You were talking about how good of a player Peck was going to be, and how you thought he was going to be a starter right away. And I think I was talking. I think he's a perfect fit for the program, and I just can't say the same. I don't know much about Carter, and what I do know, I just don't know how he's going to fit. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised.
Good, Mr. Carter.
You know, Sterling Carter is a tough kid. I mean, he really. He's a Bryson Scott type of just that mentality of work and going to get at you. And when he says that he came to Purdue to do whatever Matt Painter needs him to do, like he really means that. None of these guys are going to cause any problems or none of them are going to come in expecting a spot in the starting lineup or in the top seven. They're just going to work. And from that perspective, they're both major pluses for the program.
Awesome. Yeah. That's good news. I from what I, you know, kind of the chatter about Carter was that, you know, he was such a offense first guy, and part of the reason he wasn't still at Portland State, is that right? Am I right about that?
It was Seattle.
Seattle. Yeah. Was because of his love for the 3-point shot, and the coach didn't like it because he was a up tempo guy and didn't like the fact that he shot so much. But I, you know, this is all, you know, kind of internet rumor, so it's probably true. It's obviously true. So
we should just have an episode where we talk about all the internet rumors.
Yeah.
That we've heard.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that was an interesting situation because he left the team halfway through the season, and you don't really see that. But what was really interesting about that is that there didn't seem to be any acrimony between Carter and the coach. It was just like, this is not a good fit. Yeah. He was, you know, he did shoot a lot, but it wasn't like that team was stacked with players, or he left and then all of a sudden, you know, they did well or anything. Like,
right.
It just didn't seem like it was a good fit for the coaching staff and the player.
Are you in a kennel right now?
Yeah, that's my dog. I'm even upstairs. She's down. I don't know what's going on. I get no respect in this.
Is there an intruder, maybe?
Exactly.
Is there, maybe you should check it out?
Get down there and
take us with you if there's an intruder.
Exactly. We'll yell at him. We'll scare him off.
What are they going to take from me? You know?
Yeah. You be safe. If you decide to do that, we've got your back, okay? Yeah.
That dog, she sleeps 20 hours a day, and then, like, the one time she's up and barking is when I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm blowing my chance. I'm on a podcast with the Boiled Sports Guys, and I'm blowing my chance.
Yeah, exactly. You only get so many chances at this. This is stardom. Yeah. So let's talk about recruiting real quick. What do you know about, is it Blewett?
Blewett,
Edwards, Hayes, any of these guys?
That's a weird recruitment. Trayvon Blewett from Park Tudor. He's really good.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people talk about maybe he doesn't have the defense or the athleticism to excel in college basketball, but he absolutely does, in my opinion. The last time I saw him, he just torched Aaron Gordon in North Central for like 40 points. It was unbelievable. He's giving Purdue an official visit, but when he announced his final seven a couple weeks ago, I got a text from a coach I know in Indianapolis, and he used the word token. I mean, like, the general consensus is that he's not seriously considering Purdue unless a lot of other options fall off the table. So,
I mean,
still, just because he's taking an official visit, my opinion is still that.
So you're saying there's a chance, is what you're saying?
I'm saying there's a chance.
Have I told you how much I hate recruiting? Have I told either of you guys?
It's terrible. Really is.
Oh,
here's the worst thing about recruiting, in all honesty. The fact is that there's not, at any given moment, there's not a ton of real information out there.
Right.
Like, not a lot of stuff happens. It's really only when a player visits or gets an offer or makes a decision. Those are really the only three truly informative moments.
Yeah.
There's such an appetite for it that every little thing just gets like spun way out of control.
Right.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and this crap is perpetuated by people that are just super bored and should care about other things more. I mean, no offense. I mean, even when anybody's out there who's bothered by this, I don't care. Get a hobby. Because I mean, like, even when I've written about it, I feel bad about it afterwards. I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. I just went down into the sewer. So it's horrible.
Hey, at least it's not football recruiting. That's far worse.
Wow, they're all horrible. They're all horrible. So, all right, let's talk a little bit more. So you think Purdue's gonna have like 27 wins this season?
27.
Somebody on Travis 30? just put up the conference schedule tonight, and I happened to scroll through the comments over there, which. And somebody, no joke, like three comments in says, if everything goes right, I could see 27-4 this year. And and people right under it, there's like, somebody goes, well, I'll have whatever he's having.
Actually, I think I knew which poster that is. But yeah, I think that's absurd. But,
that's
you know,
a great word.
Maybe. Absurd. I don't know. I think really,
well,
like,
I mean, if everything goes right, I mean, I guess they could go 31-0.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, you know, and the other thing is, like, teams decide to only, you know, play freshmen, the odds go way up.
Three players. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. No, I mean, 20, sure, it's a possibility. Anything's possible, but the depths that we were watching last year, I mean, that is a quantum leap. And I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to sneak up on people. I'm excited about basketball again. I don't want to long pass football because I'm more excited about football. So, yeah, I said more excited.
Man. So, Michael, do you, just switching to football for a minute, do you I think – what do you think? You think 8-9 wins this year, right?
Oh, clearly. Rose Bowl.
If everything goes right. If everything goes right,
I don't see why we couldn't just go undefeated and just win every game.
I think they could win the world championship, honestly. They could, you know –
The world championship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if everything goes their way, hell, why not? Let's go at that, you know?
They get invited to the Olympic Games.
Exactly. Yeah, they'll be football world champions. Not NFL, because that's ridiculous talk. But, you know, they'll play teams in Germany and stuff. Yeah, let's keep it real for a second.
Oh, man. So no, what's you're excited about football, though, even though I'm sure you're tempering your excitement, right?
I am. I think I'm very excited about football. I think there's been a lot of really positive energy around the program, and I think if I'm being realistic, which I'm just going to get like hammered on this when this airs and people yell at me for not being a true fan.
It'll never air.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I'm fine. Then I've got a bunch of other things to say. No, I think that I really think that four, maybe five wins is where this team is going to end up this season.
Five wins, Hank. That's pessimistic. Even when coming from a guy who's I call myself a realist, but wow.
Yeah. Well, 4 or 5 wins. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get hammered totally, because I think that's what everyone, not everyone. That's what we're seeing. You know, Rittenberg and what's his face, Bennett. They both said 4-8, 2-6 in the conference, and you know, even a pessimist, I think that's a little dark. I mean, 4-8, yeah, I could see 4 wins happening, but 2-6 in conference. I mean, that's suggesting you're just going to beat Illinois and Iowa, I guess. I mean, I don't know who else. You know, I think that's very dark thinking, frankly. I mean, I think 4 wins is a floor, honestly. I mean, I just don't.
Then what's if 4 is the floor? Then what in your opinion is the ceiling for this team?
The ceiling for this team?
Yeah.
12. No, I think that to borrow from someone we just made fun of on Travis's comment section, if everything goes right, like meaning, and by that I mean no injuries really. I mean you're not having third string wide receivers playing running back.
Football's a nice game.
So if Hunt is healthy, let's say, and Henry's healthy and plays like, you know, Joey Elliott in his one season and Billy Dickett in his one season, then I think, you know, 7-8 wins is the absolute ceiling. But you know, like I said, you got to win.
Whoa. You think 7 is the ceiling now?
I said
you
7
said
or 8.
7 or 8.
Yeah, is different than 7, pal.
When was the last time Purdue had 8 wins in a season?
When they went 8-6 in
And they got their asses handed to them by Maryland in the whole game.
That was the year they lost to Hawaii.
They were like IU is going to be this year, where they'll have IU have 6 or 7 wins, and they'll be like a 3-win team in reality.
Right, and they'll go to a bowl game and get absolutely
and they'll get crushed
by you know, Rutgers or you know.
Yeah.
Someone terrible.
Yeah, they'll be playing in frigid cold New York City or something. Whee!
Welcome to bowl season, everybody.
Exactly. Excited. You can go to freezing cold, wet San Francisco or freezing snowing. New York City.
And you can play Iowa State and get bludgeoned.
In front of 75
In front of 45 friends and family.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you'll get a watch. Yeah. That's what you do.
Right. Shitty watch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, listen to us. We're like casting a spree. Your bowl game sucks. You don't have
I think the three of us are pretty consistent. There are too many bowl games, and many of them are horrible. I think there's no doubt about that. The system sucks. So
you can wind up – well, like Purdue was essentially in what's now the heart of Dallas, but it's the Cotton
Bowl. And no one cared.
No. And no one cares. And no one, that Cotton Bowl isn't used for anything.
No.
It's an old, shitty, cruddy stadium
yeah.
that they.
Yeah.
Oh, let's put a bowl.
The heck out of that game. I mean, they set up that.
They did work hard.
It was really popular, and they were giving away free tickets, and it was.
Oh, they gave us like a stack to give away. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we had a hard
yeah.
time giving them away.
Yep.
But, yeah.
I mean, because that outcome was pretty predictable. And
oh,
yeah.
Who's going to, like, travel to watch your favorite team just get.
A bunch of people did. I think Purdue actually traveled decently
well
given,
for that. Yeah, for the
given the season. Yeah. That yeah, I think that the, I was kind of proud of Purdue fans for. We knew it was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I was proud of them. Yeah. But so Hank, you say 4 wins.
Yeah,
I say my official. So the ceiling question was. So I say the ceiling's 8, the absolute ceiling, which I've been consistent with. I said the ceiling. I think that's
right.
And I think if you force me to make a like what I think will
yeah,
happen,
let's do that.
I'm going to.
Do that now.
I'm going to say 6-6.
Oh, my gosh, you have dropped it. So now we're the same? Give me a break.
So you both think we're going to go to a bowl?
I thought we were in the tree of trust. Are we not in the tree of
You're
trust
You're out on
anymore?
A limb. I'm breaking
I
it.
Can't
I'm just on that damn
what?
Limb off.
What? Yeah, I don't. I feel very
You should feel violated.
You have to schedule. What are the 6 wins?
So, okay, in my
well,
so for 6 wins,
Notre Dame, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State. How am I doing? Am I okay, Jay?
That's
so far,
that's
pretty good. Pretty good.
What is this animosity? What are you? Oh, that's right. Because last year you were optimistic, and I told you they were going to be crappy, and they were less than crappy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I'm going to make fun of him because he'll be right again, and I'm going to look even dumber.
Yeah. All right. I hope I do. You know, I always hope myself to look.
They're going to beat Notre Dame at home.
All right.
They're going to beat Notre Dame at home.
Wow.
I've said that.
Honor, so
said that.
Fun.
They're going to beat Notre Dame at home. That's going to happen.
Gosh.
They're going to.
Wow.
They're going to beat. Iowa, Illinois, IU, Notre Dame, Indiana State, that's 5. And then they're going to win. And then I don't know, you know, some combination of Cincinnati and NIU, Penn State, what am I missing out on here? Any of those, one of those will be a win. That's 6.
I think you said they're going to win all the games there. I think if I was just...
No. See, if you live, I know paying attention is not your forte,
yeah.
but,
so
but
if everything goes right, if everything goes right.
No, shut up. That's I just gave you 6 wins out of 12. That's not everything going right.
I think so.
Okay.
So what's your confidence
okay.
In the Notre Dame
now,
coming from?
Which one of those? Which ones of those 6 that I rattled off are impossible?
Notre Dame.
You're, okay, you just said it's impossible for them to beat Notre Dame at home.
Well, it's hard. It's going to be hard. I mean,
hey,
people are.
Notre Dame got
yeah,
worse.
I'll be honest, Jay. I don't see Robert Marv walking through that door.
Yeah, because Robert Marv, as much as we liked him, never had the kind of game you and I thought he could have until
yeah,
until when?
Man, last year though, if they would if Hope would have been smart enough to keep him in, I say this all the
yes.
time. Hold on, Hank. Think about this for a second. If Hope would have kept Marv in for the Notre Dame game, or Hope
played
and Hope and Ford exactly wouldn't have had their heads in their rectums versus Ohio State. They'd still be Purdue's coaches, right?
Oh, absolutely.
How terrible.
I've said that in print on our site. I've said, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, absolutely. They beat Notre Dame or Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? They're 7-5.
Yeah.
And he, right? He's still there.
Yes.
7-5, and they're in, what bowl are they in? They're in, like, the Capital One Bowl or something
no.
because of the way everything, right?
Right.
Because of the way everything
fell?
They
get beat by 30 by some – third-tier SEC team, and then come back and do it again next year.
Yep. So we
got
to thanking the football gods for the way things worked out, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. It's a horrible thing. It's never good to – you know, none of the three of us ever want to see Purdue lose anything, honestly, you know. And
But that's not how it was. It was – because remember we said 2 years ago – people kept saying to us, what's a successful season? What's an improvement? And we said a bowl game. He asked – in year 3, he had to get to a bowl
right.
game. And
right.
they got to a bowl game, and I remember at the end of the year saying, gosh, that felt like the filthiest kind of
right. –
you felt dirty because you're like, why are we – we did say 6 wins would be a step forward.
Right.
So you can't hold it against them. But remember how they got there?
Yep.
Losing at Rice, but winning against Ohio State. Like
in one of the most depressing games I've ever watched as a Purdue fan. I mean,
absolutely.
That was just a bad game.
That's the problem we had with it, is that he found a way to make what we said would be acceptable unacceptable.
Yeah.
And that was the magic of Danny.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that's interesting about that, if you look back and all the predictions that we made, we always said with Hope's personality, you're going to have – they're going to win games they're not supposed to win. They're going to lose games they're not supposed to win or not supposed to lose. And
yeah.
I mean, that's he did exactly what we thought he would. He was not qualified to be Purdue's coach. He got him up for a couple games they shouldn't have. But the big thing I think we can all take away from it is that I think we're happy to be where we are.
The other thing we were talking about earlier, Hank, was we're not mature enough to have a stadium called the Nip. Because that's what they call Nipper. They call it the Nip, and we just talked. We made all the jokes you'd expect.
Yeah.
So
for 4 minutes we were joking, and then the damn technology failed us as it does with us. And then I was like, "Darn it, stupid nipple jokes."
All those jokes are lost.
But they're there.
No, they're there. Now, who knows if they'll make the final cut of the 7-minute show that Jay has to spend 4 days working on.
Oh. Oh man.
Well, the good thing is I've been my allergies are getting progressively worse as the night goes on. When I started, my voice wasn't very nasally, but now I can't breathe at all. This is what I mean, you guys have heard my crappy voice for too many podcasts, so it's bad. So
where are you at then? You're at 6-6 also? Is that what you're gonna follow me right down the slide? Is that what you're gonna say and pretend you were original? Is that what
me? I'm not following I said 5 or 6 wins from the get-go. You were saying
– oh, 5 and 6 are different.
No, you were saying
7 and 8 are different.
Last spring, we've got records of it. We can go back and listen to tapes or
– yeah, and when Hank asked me what the outer limit was, what the best case, I said 8.
That's not the same thing. You were saying you were confident in 8 wins last year. That is a big difference.
I was confident in 8 wins.
Confident in 8 wins. I don't know. I think you put
words in my mouth.
No, this is when you were in your honeymoon stage because you're still so –
I was in the afterglow.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in the afterglow. Yeah.
I mean, I love the guy, but you're – man, it's ridiculous.
I cannot wait till they exceed expectations this year.
I hope they do.
And you have to eat it. No, because I was right last year, and I don't get any credit for it. And I'm going to be right this year, and I'm going to get no credit for it again.
No, listen.
So wait, you want Purdue football to be successful just so you can prove that you were right?
That's the only reason I want them to be successful.
That's the only
exactly.
That's the whole reason why the whole website.
I've realized over the last couple of years that I care about Purdue football far more than I care about Purdue basketball. Like, not that that's like a sin or anything, but I think when you're at Purdue, you know, you feel like you have a better chance at seeing a really successful basketball program, you know, and yet I and maybe that's why I care more, right, about football, because basketball, I'm like, you know what, they'll come around. Painter's good. They have those, you know, over the years, right? They have those years. They don't break through, but they have those years with lots of promise and potential, and you see it. I want so badly to see, you know, Daryl Hazel do nothing big, just what he did at Kent State. That's, I mean, is that so much to ask? And I'd like him to do it faster. Is that?
I just want 10 wins right away.
11.
That's it.
11.
Right away.
You know,
how hard is that? When was the last time Purdue won 10 games in a season?
1979.
No.
They didn't.
Didn't they? I don't think they won. Did they win 10 games then?
Yeah. Okay, that was the only time. Once ever.
Jim Young.
Yeah. 10-2.
And then he left.
10-2.
And then he left.
So my point is, I have a theory about how the Purdue's ceiling in football.
Okay.
I think that realistically, every 25 years, you're going to look at a team that could finish in the top 5 in the nation. Every 10 years, you're looking at a team that could win the Big Ten.
Okay.
And so
– Wait a minute. You're saying that's what we will see or that's what we should see?
I think that's what Purdue is.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I guess. Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess.
5 years, you'll have an amazing quarterback produced – like Curtis Painter, that
Curtis Painter. I like Curtis,
I do too. But
he's in the cradle and he shouldn't be.
No,
let's be honest.
Well,
he didn't.
Eric Hunter's in the freaking cradle too. Eric Hunter's in the cradle, by the way.
What
do you say?
There have been far worse than Curtis Painter. I don't know.
Oh, Mike's got his backup now.
Remember Brandon Kearse? Do we want to talk about him for a minute?
He's not in the cradle of quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, pal. That's what we're talking about. It's about the cradle.
You just stick to basketball, pal.
Oh, you're talking about – okay, all right, all right. I thought you were knocking on him in
general. Oh, you caught up now?
Purdue quarter.
Caught up? Yeah. Yeah, we are, actually. Yeah. This isn't the Curtis Painter hour, though, so I don't think we need to –
We like Curtis Painter. Nice guy. Good quarterback. But
he's cashing a paycheck. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
Cashing a paycheck.
Did he make a roster? Did he make the roster, by the way?
He last I heard he was in the Giants practice or Giants. He was on the Giants team, the actual roster. But I don't know if he made the final cutdowns or if he was.
Yeah.
I doubt it, frankly. Yeah. But you know, you got Eli. You don't need.
Well, I'm still rooting for the Giants to bring my hefty lefty. It doesn't matter if here or not, because the not
you identify with him
exactly.
Right now. That's
we'll see him fat guys in tight clothes. Look at him.
Well, I think we dragged this down as low as we can possibly drag it.
Yeah, so we do.
So feelings. I want to get one more thing out of you guys. Feelings from feelings for Saturday. Seriously, gut feeling, win or lose. Hank, go first.
7-point loss.
See, that would, and I think, you know, one of the questions we got asked was what's success on Saturday. If it's not a win, like what's success? And
a single digit loss to me is a success.
I agree with you. I think if you lose by 7, you lose 27-20 or something, you're not going to be thrilled, but you come home thinking, all right, you know, like at least the close games always feel like you can win, right? And except when you're Danny Hope's squad and close games are like should have been wins and you lose to Rice. But
how about this? Here's a success. I got it. You leave Cincinnati without any major injuries and you're in a position that you can win in the last two drives. How about that?
Does that frustrate you though? If you're in
Hell yeah, but it's that's big progress though, because that's like a program that actually went to a bowl game, right? And you didn't lose by 50, so that's a big deal.
Right.
They lost by 44. All right, let's not get
come on.
Don't exaggerate. Come on.
Exactly. Oh.
No, not when it's already that bad. You can't exaggerate. Yeah. So yeah, So you agree, Ryan? Is that yours too? You think they lose?
I think they beat the spread. The spread's 10.5 right now. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Not that we ever encourage gambling, but in all seriousness, like I never, even if I did gamble, I wouldn't gamble against spreads because I usually hate that. Mm-hmm. However, this would be the one time I probably would, because I think that's a silly spread.
Oh, I do.
I mean, I think, gosh, 10.5 points, double digit underdog.
It's not 14 and 2.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I know. And it's all where the money is. I realize. So right. I mean, I realize that's really what it is. But that's what I mean. I just don't think Purdue's. Maybe it's a carryover from how bad they looked against Oklahoma State. I don't know, but totally different.
Everything's
team, different cast. Yeah, a lot of things are different, and they've got the John Shoup crazy eyes that you know he can stare across the field.
That terrifies teams.
I think it's great. I love having it as the offensive coordinator, not the coach. I think it's perfect. He's got that. He's got that crazy eyes. I was trying to think of why can't I ever Zook, Ron Zook.
Yep.
He's, you know, that's one of the things that you you used to talk about how Zook was just. I'm just saying the Shoup has that Zook like craziness, right? Where he not quite the level of Zook, but like we used to joke about how Zook looked like man super intense, like he was going to eat something, you know, like. And I like Shoup. People are like, some people don't seem to like Shoup, but whatever. I mean, let's see what he does.
Fans,
people have said he's creative, and you know, I think Ryan, I think you said he makes Nord look like a Pee Wee offensive coordinator, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
like a you know.
I mean,
Nord
made Nord look like a Pee Wee.
Yes,
well,
he did.
Right.
Yes, he did.
I'm just saying, like, you got a guy now who's coached in the NFL. And as much as everyone wants to act like he was a complete failure, he wasn't. And he did some nice work at North Carolina. So, I mean, you know, you're not expecting him to have Rob Henry turn into a 50-point rainmaker. I mean, you know, if they do some creative things that you know, they don't run a dive play for three quarters because they have a lead at Ohio State, you know, that would be a step in the right direction. So I think – so Ry, you think they cover the spread and they don't win this Saturday.
That's exactly. So Hank and I are in step, really. So how about you?
Oh, I'm picking a win.
Yeah, all right. Of course you are.
I think. No, now it's of course I am. Man, I can't win with you. If I pick wins, losses, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm always wrong.
But you didn't have Cincinnati in your list of wins.
No, but what I said to you.
Now
no,
nine, wins. Nine wins.
No. Actually, you two listen about as well as
no, national champs, hoes.
No, no. What I said was I listed the ones I thought had to be wins, and then I said some combination of winning.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati, Northern Illinois, or whatever I said. There was one other one. So, but I know you're not really going to listen, so it doesn't matter.
I stopped listening a second ago.
So I think they start off. I don't believe in Tuberville that much. I think if he's going to juggle quarterbacks, I don't think that's a good thing. And maybe that's just my experience at Purdue. But I just think there's a few, and I think that there's. Let's not overlook, and we haven't even talked about this. There is a chance, you have to agree with this, that Cincinnati's players could get a little overconfident.
Oh, the whole fan base is overconfident, I think.
They're amped. They're ready. They're excited. And that's nice, except when you lose sight of the assignments you should be focusing
right,
on. So
right.
If Purdue comes out and is super prepared and super disciplined and gets a lead, that's going to be critical. I mean, it's always critical to get a lead, obviously.
Right.
But, I mean, you don't want to be down 3-0 at halftime or something, or 10-3. Then you start to worry they're not going to score enough. If Purdue gets up by, like, a touchdown, 10 points,
right?
Then I think Cincinnati gets tight.
Yep.
I really think that, and I think that's how Purdue would have to win that game. They'd have to win it, you know, what, like 20-17 or something like that. It would have to be like that Northwestern game. Remember that Henry led them to?
Yeah.
When Northwestern was like 5-0, and you're like, how the hell did that even happen?
Yeah.
How did it even happen?
Learned a lot about this Purdue team in the first quarter, even like from a discipline standpoint, from a execution standpoint, and from then on, I think. Because right now we just don't know. I mean, they've been preaching discipline and all that sort of stuff, but we'll see if it translates to the field. And if it does, you know, maybe your insane prediction of a national championship could come true.
Right. Right.
And whatever I said just made someone fall off their chair. Clearly, well, we've had enough fun for this evening. I think we're gonna thank whatever this guy's name is. No one knows him, so. But is Michael Henry of the Hoosier Hoops Report. I'm sure he loves writing for us. That has Hoosier in the name.
Mm-hmm.
Why pick this?
You could follow him at the Railroad Tie on Twitter. His cell phone number is 317. No, you can text him anytime you want. He's always awake. He's always excited. So anyway, you can call him Hank. You can call him Michael. You can call him whatever.
But call him.
But just make sure
you call him.
Well, we appreciate you, as always, joining us, man.
The show was sponsored by Get Hammered T-Shirts. Buy your T-shirt
only
through BoiledSports.com. If you don't have one, you suck.
You don't have one.
So you're saying that your show is sponsored by yourselves?
Yes.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah, we just got like real sponsors a couple years ago, and that didn't really make us any money or make any sense, really. So now we sponsor ourselves.
All right. You've been listening to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.